All right, Jabo, say good morning, a good night. Let us begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning. Sure to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tishrei, Jerry and Sarah Walaski, for dedicating all of Shimon Drushos this month. And the Schlisser of Fushlima for their grandson, Zachariah Dov, Ben Perel Shira, Shandy and Avram Kelman, in the memory of their beloved parents, and the Schliss of all those who need a Fushlima, Dr. Linda Weinberg, in loving memory of her husband, Dr. Paul Weinberg, Peretz Moshe Ben Avram, David, Leah Sol, this is Chosfer Fushlima for her daughter Ilana Bas Esther, and for all those in need of Yeshuas. Our week of learning sponsors, Ira Gross, in memory of his father, Melech Ben Azriel, Valerie Osipov, as a Chosfer Fushlima for Irina Bas Brilliant. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all the Neshamos Avin Aliyah, the families in Necham, and all those who require Refuah should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. And And in the source of Refuah Shleima for Rafael Shlomo Baruch Ben Tzipora. And Meretz Hashem, we should have a Refuah together with Kol Chole Yisrael. Well, so with that, let us begin. So a lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Another great daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Nun Gimel 53. We are picking up in Meretz Hashem on Nun Beis and with Beis 52B at the two dots. So which is three lines down into the wide line. So a fascinating story. So Gemara says this house, Tana Abanan. Now tells the story. After Rabbi Meir passed away, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Tamid Rabbi Yehuda said to his students, "Ayikansu Tamid Rabbi Akiva Lakan." This is actually context. Rabbi Meir dies. Rabbi Yehuda makes a proclamation, a statement. I don't want the students of Rabbi Meir coming to my shir. I don't want them coming. Why? So the Gemara says, "Mipdei shekanterim him," because they're contrarians. Right? They're contrarians. They're difficult guys. They're always asking questions. They're not coming to learn, but rather they're just simply coming to go ahead and try. Lakhini means literally, again, like to cut me off. You know, to go ahead and just ask questions. Or we'll say, you know, in life you have people like this who don't ask questions for the sake of understanding or clarifying things, but just ask questions for the sake of asking questions. Or just becoming inquisitive for the sake of being difficult, not really for the advancement, their own personal advancement. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda held this opinion of the students of Rabbi Meir and felt that they were just going to come to ask questions in order to shter him. Sumchus, who is one of the Talmid of Rabbi Meir, dachak means he pushed his way into shir. Pushed his way into shir. So what happened? Amr Lahem, Kach Shanali Rabbi Meir. So Sumchus now pipes up in Shir, right? First day in Shir, he pipes up in Shir and he says, Rabbi Meir taught me the following. Shanali Rabbi Meir. Kamikadish Bechalko, Ben Bechadish Kadashim, Ben Bechadish Kalam, Lo Kiddish. If a Kohen is Mekadish a woman with this portion of either Kadashim Kadashim, which are higher sanctity karbanos, or Kadashim Kalam, lower sanctity karbanos, Lo Kiddish. The Kiddushin is not good. Okay. Kaas Rabbi Hudalein. Rabbi Yehuda got angry. He got angry. He says, Amr Lahem, Lo kach amarti lachem al yikansu to mitamid Rabbi Akiv, Rabbi Meir lekan. So Rabbi Yehuda gets angry. He says, you see? Exactly what I was saying before. This is why I don't want the students of Rabbi Meir coming into my shir. They're just contrarian personalities, just looking to ask questions in order to shter things, in order to uproot, in order to undermine. They're not coming to learn. They're just coming to confuse me, or they're coming to undermine me with foolish questions. Now, the truth is, what's so crazy about Simchus's question? To which Rabbi Yehuda responds, how would a woman ever be in the Azara? There is Rabbi, remember again, Kodshei Kadoshim, higher sanctity karbanos, can only be consumed in what we call Ezras Yisrael, which is ultimately, again, remember, you're walking into the interior courtyard, not the Ezras Noshim, which is the exterior courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, but Ezras Yisrael, which is the interior courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So remember, again, you'd already be entering in, you're going up the steps, through the platform, through the gateway, into the interior courtyard. That's where the Mizbeach was. That's where the entry, ultimately, again, into the Kodesh was, the Heichal was. Women aren't allowed there. Women can't go there. Only Kohanim, only male Kohanim could be there. So ask Rabbi Yehuda, it's a crazy question. Of course a Kohen can be Mekadesh, a woman. Ultimately, again, with Kodesh Kadoshim, there's no way for her to receive the Kiddushin inside of the Kodesh, or inside of the Ezras Yisrael. So I will say, this was Rabbi Yehuda's Raya, that the Talmidim of Rabbi Meir just come to start trouble. They're not coming to actually learn. So what happens? I'm Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say, so now this is the standoff that is occurring inside of the base medrash, right? So Sumchus, the student of Rabbi Meir, is putting forward his question. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you see, this is why I didn't want to allow any of them into the base medrash. Rabbi Sumchus asks this question, and you even see Rabbi Yehuda feels the question itself is so ridiculously foolish. I'm Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi is standing there watching this entire thing. He says, Yomru, Meir Shachav, this is what people are going to say. Rabbi Meir is dead. Yehuda Kass, Rabbi Yehuda is getting angry. Yossi Shasach, and Yossi did nothing about this. So Rabbi Yossi sees, really, what is it, just a very uncomfortable and unfortunate situation unfolding right in front of him. Right, so what happens? Rabbi Yossi feels, I can't do nothing. Torah Mateala, what's going to happen to Torah? To which Rabbi Yossi responds, V'chi'ein Adam Asui L'kabal Kiddushin L'bito Ba'azara. So again, Rabbi Yossi says, listen, Rabbi Yehuda, calm down. It is possible to have a case like this. We're going to have a case like this, where the woman in question appoints another Kohen to go ahead and be her Shaliach to receive the Kiddushin. So you can have a case like this. So therefore, again, we'll call him Ruvain, the Kohen, the husband, right? He wants to marry Rachel. Rachel appoints another Kohen, we'll call him Aaron, to receive the Kiddushin on her behalf. So Aaron, a Kohen, could receive the Kodshei Kadoshim meat from Ruvain, the Kohen, in the Ezra Sisto. So you could have a case like that, right? Or again, or it could be the father also. Vein isha asuya lasos l'shaliach. Right. Ultimately, again, a woman can make so. Again, if Rachel could appoint her father, who's a Kohen, potentially to be her shaliach, she could appoint someone else to be her shaliach. Vold dachka v'nichnasa mai. Furthermore, again, it could be that Simchas was asking, or that the case could be, although a woman is not supposed to enter into Ezra's Yisrael, she did. She did. So it'll be the halacha if she did, and she received the Kodshei Kadoshim meat as her Kiddushin. So we'll say the point that Rabbi Meir is trying to make over here is, a case like this could occur. Sorry, Rabbi Yossi trying to make over here is that a case like this could occur. But we'll say, there are many, many lessons to be gleaned from this particular story. Number one, we'll say, is how it's so interesting that once we develop a perception about someone else, everything we perceive about that person fits into that pre-established narrative. And I will say, this is a very dangerous thing. And we know this, right? We'll say, think about someone who you really don't like, because, don't say you don't have one, right? Again, who you've had just very bad interactions with. The entire way you engage with that person is based on the way in which you view them. So that person could say to you, good morning, it's already afternoon, what's the matter with you? Right? Why are you saying it like that? And everything I see about that, we all have people like this, everything I see about that person, I'm viewing it through that lens of negativity. And it's one of the hardest things. And I'll say, that's why often negative relationships are unable to turn around. Not they're unable, but often we don't turn them around because there's just negativity building upon negativity, because everything that happens, I'm viewing through that lens of negativity. Which I will say is so important, because if we do have a negative relationship that we want to turn around, it's so important to say, okay, maybe I need to cleanse the filter a little bit. Because maybe everything I'm taking in from this person is building up negativity. Maybe they don't mean it that way. And see, and the riot is, look what happens. Rabbi Yehuda has this preconceived notion, maybe well-earned, preconceived notion of the Talmid of Rabbi Meir. So Simchas walks in, he asks the question, right? Rabbi Yehuda's like, see, I told you, this is it. And like, well, I don't understand, what's the big deal? He just asked the question. But again, when you hold preconceived notions of people, so ultimately, again, everything you experience is viewed through that lens of preconceivity. Not a word, right? But you understand, right? Everything is viewed through that particular lens. That's lesson number one, I will say. Again, how important sometimes in relationships, if you have a relationship that is difficult and you want to get it on the rails, you need a shtickle relationship reset. And the reset is I'm going to condition myself not to necessarily read in a negative narrative into what this person is saying to me, despite past occurrences. I'm going to start new. I'm going to start fresh. I'm going to try to take their words just for what they are without any overlying narrative. That's number one. Number two, I will say, Rabbi Yossi. That's what I learned from Yehuda. What do you learn from Yossi? We'll say, so often in life, we see things occurring, and we know that they're wrong. We know that they're wrong, but we don't take a stand. And when I say take a stand, I don't mean like a macha, but I mean like we don't do anything. We don't do anything. Sometimes we see our children doing things, and we feel, oh, if I say something, I'm going to alienate them, I'm going to this, I'm going to that, and we don't do anything. We don't do anything. Or sometimes we see things happening within Klal Yisrael, we see things happening in community. Now again, does it take a lot of chachma to know when to take a stand on something versus when to let something go? Absolutely. You know, there are people who take a stand on everything, and people who take a stand on everything, their word becomes absolutely meaningless. And then there are people who, and I'll use this lashon, hide behind shalom. I would say shalom is a very important value. But some people use shalom as an excuse to not stand up for certain things. I don't want to make waves. It's good not to make waves, and it's good to be ish shalom. Sometimes we hide behind shalom simply because we don't have enough backbone to do what needs to be done or to say what needs to be said in difficult times. So the God of Rabbi Yossi says, look, I could just ignore this. But Torah matahei alaha. What's going to happen if Jews can't talk to each other? What's going to happen if Jews can't learn with each other? What's going to happen if Jews can't ask questions for each other? What is the future going to hold? Rabbi Yossi could have easily received each other. We'll say, you know, what do you see from a story like this? What was everyone else doing in the base medrash? What was everyone else doing? Right? Nothing. It's the same thing as the Kamsa Bar Kamsa story. We'll say, people generally don't want to get involved. People generally just want to stand by the sidelines, mind their own business, and just go on with their life. That's how it becomes our accounts. And what's happening in Beis Medrash? Rabbi Yossi is the only guy who sees it. Only person who sees this. Everyone saw it. Just most decided not to get involved. Rabbi Yossi has the courage to say, if I don't get involved over here, this machlokis is going to cause such a rupture. Torah Matela, I will say sometimes in life you don't have the luxury not to get involved. Sometimes you don't have the luxury not to stand up. Such an incredible story. Let's go back to Tanya. Rabbi Huda says, so we'll say, Tanya, Rabbi Huda Omer Mekudeshah. So we'll say, so now we're focusing on the concept over here. So let's go back and let's talk about this just a bit. So what happens if you have a Kohen who does want to be Mekadesh a woman with Kachay Kadashim or Kachim Kalim? So what is the halacha? He gives a piece of the sacrificial meat to this woman. What is the status, ultimately, again, of this kiddushin? Rabbi Huda says, mekudeshes, it works. Rabbi Yossi Omer, in mekudeshes. Rabbi Yossi says, it's not mekudeshes, it doesn't work. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, shtei mikra echadar, so they both dash in the same pasuk. V'zeyeh elecha, mikodesh hakadoshim min ha'ish. The pasuk, when talking about the Kohanic portion, says to the Kohanim, this is the portion that will be for you from the ish, from the fire. Okay, so watch this, we'll say. Rabbi Huda Savar Lecha Ulecha Tzachecha. Rabbi Huda says, Kachay Kadashim belong to you. What does it mean they belong to you? They belong to you and for whatever you need, i.e. even for Kiddushin. Rabbi Yossi Savar Ke'esh. No, Kachay Kadashim is just like fire. Ma'esh La'achila, just like fire. We'll say the fire represents the portion to Hashem. So just like the portion to Hashem, so to speak, what does the Ribono Shel Olam get out of Karbonos? What does he get? They're consumed by the fire. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol gets consumption. Afunami lachila, so to Kohanim get consumption, but nothing else. Nothing else. So I will say, so same pasuk, different Joshua. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lecha, it's yours, do with it as you want. Rabbi Yossi, Eish, you get it for consumption, nothing else. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, so I will say, top of Nun Gimel, 53a, Nimnu v'gamru, everyone agreed, HaMekadish Bechelko Bim Mikachay Kadoshim and Mikachim Kalim Lo Kiddush. Shabbos Rabbi Yochanan comes along and he says, the truth is, even Rabbi Yehuda kind of got on board with this, right? They got together in the Beis Medrash and everyone agreed that Halacha L'Maisa Kohen cannot use his sacrificial portion to affect Kiddushin. So we have complete agreement on it. Rav says, no, we don't. Shabbos, isn't this funny? We have a machlokes, whether or not we have a machlokes. Only Jews have stuff like this, right? So again, so Rabbi Yochanan saying, everyone agrees that a Kohen cannot use his sacrificial portion to affect Kiddushin. Rav says, we don't have consensus on that. It's still a machlokas. I'm Rav Abaye says, Kavasi Rabbi Yochanan Mistabra. I think Rabbi Yochanan is correct that we have consensus. Namely, the Sanyo, it's actually very interesting. Minayin Shein Cholkin Minachos Kineged Zvachim. That will say, okay, so now this is the topic we're going to be dealing with over here. So if you're a Kohen, so remember again, let's say now it's your Mishmar's week, right? So on any given, right, so when you're walking in the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be entitled to a whole host of karbanic portions over the course of that week. So let's say again, I want to trade my portion. So for example, you know, I'm on a low carb diet. So what I would like to do is I'd like to trade my mincha for a piece of meat. Hey, I want to trade. In other words, you take my mincha, I'll go ahead and take my meat. Or I was gonna say, if you're a vegetarian, should this? But if you're a kohen vegetarian, I think you're pasul avoda. I don't know what you do with that, right? So again, so let me say, I know it doesn't work. It literally doesn't work. Anyway, so we'll say, but that's the key story. So we want to talk about a kohen kind of trading portions with other kohanim. So much like this. How do you know that you can't trade a mincha for a carbon? Talmud lomar v'chol mincha sher te'afe betanor. So this is an extra phrase. This v'chol mincha sher te'afe betanor is an extra phrase. L'chol b'nei Aaron tia should be for the sons of Aaron. So that extra phrase teaches us that Allah l'maisa. Rashi actually says, "Kol mincha, mashish mincha asiyach lok b'nei Aaron." So I'm sorry, this is not an extra phrase. This is they're dashing over here that every mincha, the sons of Aaron will have a portion. Meaning, whatever portion is yours, and you cannot exchange that with or force with someone else for something else. You can't barter sacrificial portions for other sacrificial portions. So I would have thought, maybe I only can't trade a mincha for a karbon. Because Rabbi say, the truth is, minchas and karbonos are not usually interchangeable. In other words, let's say there's a particular karbon, there's no such thing as bringing a mincha instead of a karbon. Maybe I should be able to barter a mincha for a bird offering. Why? Because we'll say certain bird offerings, if you're not able to afford the bird, you could bring a mincha instead. So we see those karbanos are already sacrificially interchangeable. So because of that, maybe I should be able to barter my portions. Tamal Omar, v'chol na'aseh b'marcheshes, l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyah. So Rav Avos said, the pasuk, this is an extra phrase, anything that's made of the marcheshes, we'll define that in just a moment, should be for the sons of Aaron. Yochol, lo yachloku menachos k'neged ofos. So I'm going to have to, fine, I can't go ahead and barter a mincha portion for a bird portion, sha'alalu minei damim, v'halalu minei kemachim. Because the truth is, there are two different types of offerings. One requires a blood application, and one is just flour. But I should be able to barter what? Bird portions for sacrificial meat portions, because they're both, again, blood applications. So we'll say these are all extra phrases. So the Gemara is using the extra phrases ultimately to teach me that Allah, whatever portion you get in a particular karban cannot be traded or bartered for a different portion. I might have thought I can't go ahead and trade or barter birds for other animal offerings. Shalalu ma'asem biyad, valalu ma'asem bikli. Well, remember again, how do you shecht a bird offering? Malika, with your hand. Versus an animal which is shechted with a knife, with a kli. Maybe that's why you can't barter them. Aval, yachloku menachos k'neged menachos, shalalu valalu ma'asem biyad. Remember, we're going to see in just a moment, in the world of mincha offerings, there are different types of menachos. So maybe I should be able to barter one type of mincha for another type of mincha. Tamul amar, v'chol mincha balula b'ashem l'chol b'nei Aaron. Yochol, lo yachloku, machvas k'neged marcheshes, u'marcheshes k'neged machvas. We'll say, fine. So I might have thought, even in the world of menachos, I can't barter or trade two dissimilar menachos. So for example, we'll say minchas machvas is a mincha made in a shallow pan, like a wafer type of mincha, versus a minchas marcheshes, which was deep dish mincha. So deep dish mincha is soft. So I will say, so listen to this. I might have thought I can't trade two different types of menachos, because the minchas machvas is a thin like wafer type, and ultimately, I'm sorry, the minchas marcheshes is a deep dish mincha, and it's soft, but the minchas machvas, the shallow pan mincha, ultimately that's harder, that's like a wafer. But I might have thought, I should be able to trade similar minachos for one another. In other words, I will say, let's say just today, I'm not in the mood for the mincha. So I want to say to my fellow kohen, you know, listen, you take my marcheshes today, I'll take your marcheshes tomorrow. So I will say, so here what I'm bartering is similar karbanos. I'm not thought I could do that. Tam lomar v'charava l'chol v'chariva l'chol b'nei aron tiya. So I will say, so no, sa'aloch l'maisa, aloch l'maisa, the extra pasuk he teaches, I will say, you can't trade karbanos. You can't trade karbanos. So again, you can't trade similar karbanos, you can't trade dissimilar karbanos, you can't barter sacrificial portions. Yachal lo yachleku b'kodesh hakadoshim. Aval yachleku b'kodesh kalim. Sanat Rav will say, maybe I only can't barter in kodesh hakadoshim. Higher sanctity karbanos. But maybe lower sanctity, kodeshim kalim I can. Tamlon will say, first white line, ish ke'achav v'samech le imal toda k'shem shen cholkim b'kodesh hakadoshim kach in cholkim b'kodeshim kalim. So I will say, ultimately, again, the pasuk imal toda is kodesh kalim. Kodesh Kalim. So you see over here that the same halachas that apply to Kodesh Kadoshim apply to Kodesh Kalim as well. So I must say, so incredible. So this just by the way, just a fascinating halacha, that halacha lemaisa, you can't, if you're a Kohen, you can't barter karbonic portions, right? You can't barter similar portions, you can't barter dissimilar portions, Kodesh Kadoshim, Kodesh Kadoshim. Gemara finished off the drasha. Ish, most of when the pasuk says ish, what does that teach me? Ish cholvek afilu balmum vein katan cholvek. Now, we'll say in the actual division of karbanos, every Kohanic male has the ability to share in the portions, even a balmum. Very interesting. See, I will say, even a kohen who has a mum, kohen has a blemish, who can't do the avoda, has the right to share in karbanos, but not a katan. So a minor kohen cannot. Vafilu tam, vein katan cholvek vafilu tam. So fine. So we'll say, so all of this, stamp sifra money. Now, we'll say, This braisa is a sifra. Sifra is medrash, but it's medrash halacha. Who is the author of stam sifra? Rabbi Yehuda. V'hu de ka'amar de les beit din chaluka klan. I will say, here's what's interesting. What do you learn from the fact that a kohen cannot barter his sacrificial portion? What do you learn from that? What do you learn from that? That it's not his. That it's not his. That's the whole chat. That when you're eating it, who does it belong to? Who does it belong to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the kohen eats, like the phrase we saw yesterday, me'al shulchan gavoa, from the table of the Ribono Shalom. It's not yours. It's not yours. Now, Bozai, because it's not yours, what else? You can't barter. What else can you do with it? Can't use it for Kiddushin. So, Bozai, see, now remember again, who's the author of a Stam Sifra? Who's the author of this Braisa, of this Medrash? Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda is going on record as saying, Kohen does not own his sacrificial portion, which would then mean that Kohen can't do kiddushin with it as well. Now, I said, let's go back. Remember again, originally Rabbi Yehuda was on record as saying what? That if a kohen is mekadesh woman with kachin kadeshim or kachin kalim, is mekudeshes. Rabbi Yochanan came along and said, even Rabbi Yehuda came around and agreed that you cannot use sacrificial portions for kiddushin, and they had consensus. Rav said no. Rabbi Yehuda still held his ground. Now, I said, from this price, so what do you see from here? But Rabbi Yehuda clearly retracted his original position. Rabbi Yehuda got on board and said that halacha lemaisa, you cannot use sacrificial items to affect kiddushin. So once the Gemara says, Shema Amina. Indeed, see that this is correct. Rabbi Yochanan is correct. And now everyone is on board saying that halacha lemaisa, you cannot use sacrificial items in order to go at kach kadoshim or kachim kalim to affect kiddushin. Incredible. Amar Rava, Ukirav Yonatan. Rav says, one second. You don't think we have a braisa to support Rav? Then Rabbi Yehuda still disagrees. After Avat Tanya, we learned, Vatznuim Moshchem Es Yadehem V'Hagargorim Cholkim. Rav will say, this is about the Kohanim. The Kohanim will say, Vatznuim, the modest Kohanim, Moshchem Es Yadehem, would remove their hand from the Lechem upon him. V'Hagargorim Cholkim. Gargorim will say, like the Gargar is like glutton, thank you, like a glutton, like a gargar. Like it says it, I think the Hebrew, you can even hear it, like what it is, right? The gluttonous Kohanim, right? The gluttonous Kohanim, Cholkim. Now, both say, we're assuming what Cholkim means over here is they would go ahead and barter their portions. Now, what is this talking about? So, we'll say, this is an incredible Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. First wide line in Rashi. V'hatznuin moshchin yidei menobo said, this is beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful, but it's sad. Gabi lechem aponim, Tanya. There's no lechem aponim. Both say, remember again, lechem aponim, 12 loaves of bread that were placed on the shulchan inside of the Kodesh, right? So you would walk into the Heichal, you'd walk into the antechamber, to the Ulam of the Beis HaMikdash. From the Heichal, then you'd walk into the primary chamber called the Kodesh of the actual Beis HaMikdash, and you would go ahead and you would see there a couple of things. You would see there the Mizbeach HaKitores, the small altar for incense, and then you would also see the Shulchan, the table. On that table were two stacks, and on those stacks were placed 6 loaves of bread each, 12 loaves of Lechem HaPanim. They were replaced, Rabbi Osai, every Shabbos, and then what would happen is the loaves were divided up amongst the exiting Mishmar. So remember again, the Mishmar, particular Mishmar, worked in the Beis HaMikdash for a week. When they were finished on Shabbos, that was the changing of the Mishmar. The old Mishmar would get the Lechem HaPanim that was on the Shulchan, and new Lechem would be put on. So watch this Rashi. Rashi says, Arboim Shana Sheshimish Shimon HaTzadik. So Rabbi Osai says, remember again, for the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol. Remember again, when was Shimon HaTzadik the Kohen Gadol? So remember again, this was first Temple era. Remember again, Shimon HaTzadik Hayom Shiyare Knesses HaGdola. Pirkei Avos, we have Shimon HaTzadik. So remember again, the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, Nishtalcha Bracha B'Lechem HaPanim, I'm reading Rashi. There was incredible Bracha in the Lechem HaPanim, in the showbread. V'chol Kohen HaMagia Kizayis, Yesh Ochal V'Saveya, What was the miracle? The miracle was every Kohen got a kizayis of Lechem HaPanim, and I will say he was filled from the kizayis. One kizayis Lechem HaPanim totally filled him. Not only that, some Kohanim got so full they couldn't even finish the kizayis. That was the bracha in Lechem HaPanim. Mikan ve'elach, I will say, unfortunately, after Shimon HaTzadik, nishtalcha me'era b'Lechem HaPanim. Literally, again, there was a curse on Lechem HaPanim. Not a curse, but again, the bracha that was showered upon the Beis HaMikdash during the days of Shimon HaTzadik was no longer there. V'chal kohen hamagio kipul. So what happened? So first of all, the Kohanim didn't get a kizayis. They only got like a very small amount. Hatznu and moshchen yedei mimenu. So the modest Kohanim, they simply didn't take. The lo mahani lohu midi. So Rabbi said, now they didn't take. Now why didn't they take? They didn't take the money, Rabbi said, because generally the amount of kachim you need to eat is a kizayis. So they knew they weren't going to get enough. And also they also knew that it wasn't going to fill them. So therefore the tznuin decided, you know what, they decided to pass on their portion of lechem upon him. Vagargarim cholkim. Now the ravenous, or the gluttonous kohanim, cholkim. Now Rashi says over here, the kasaka daitcha, the hai chalukin, lav lito chalkam agia kamar, kevin shach. So let's go back to the Gemara now. Now we're assuming that cholkin means the gargarim, the gluttonous kohanim, would take their portion of lechem panim. What would they do? They would trade it for other kohanic portions. Shabbos say, if you could trade your portion of lechem panim, what does that show you? That it's yours. So that would seem to support Rav's view that Rabbi Yehuda was still of the opinion that ultimately, again, sacrificial portions belong to the kohanim. To which the Gemara says, no. Back to the Gemara. My cholkim. What does cholkim mean? Chotfim. It doesn't mean that the gluttonous Kohanim would go ahead and trade the Lechem HaPanim. Rather, what it means is they would go ahead and grab the extra portion. They would grab additional amounts, ultimately, again, from the Lechem HaPanim. Kediktoni Seifa, so here what's happening over here. The gluttonous Kohanim would not go ahead and take a little bit, but rather, again, they would take a lot of the lechem upon him. So they would grab up as much as they could. So the Gemara says, "My cholkim choltim kidiktani seifa ma'isa be'echad shechotav chelko v'chilek chavero." There was once a Kohen who took his portion, his friend's portion. Vayikaren also ben chamtson ad yomoso. So the Gemara tells a story. There was a Kohen who went ahead and took his friend's portion, and ultimately they called him ben chamtson. Ben Chamtson. We're going to see the meaning of that word until the day that he died. What's the pasuk? So we'll say, so the point over here is, this is not a proof to Rav. Right? The idea over here is no one's trading sacrificial portions. These ravenous Kohanim would just go ahead and take as much lechem upon them as they wanted. Amrav Bar Shila, Maikra, what's the pasuk? Elokai, Paltini miad rasha mikaf ma'ol v'chometz. So Rabbi Amar Yehacha limdu heitev darshu mishpat ashru chamotz. So Rashi says over here, ashru chamotz hechziku yad anigzal. So you see the lashon of chamotz is lashon of someone who is stolen from, right? The victim of theft. So they called this guy Ben Chamtson. He's the one who steals from other Kanabosai. It's actually fascinating to contemplate that this individual ultimately, again, gets his name from this one event. Right? They called him Ben Chamtson for the rest of his life. Why? Because Lamaisa, he stole, not stole, he grabbed up Lechem HaPadim from other Kanabosai. What do you see from here? You see from here that there are events in life that define us. Right? In other words, it's true that life is made up of a series of smaller events which place us on a trajectory, but then there are also certain major pivotal events that determine, you know, the direction of our life in a much more dramatic way. Sometimes we don't know in life what are the major events and what are the smaller events. Now, how incredible is it? One time, this guy just grabbed up a whole bunch of lechem upon him. And what occurred? That determined his identity. That was the event, that was the pivotal event that determined. So they called him Ben Chamtson for the rest of his life. What else do you see from here, Bosa? What else do you see from here? Clearly, he never did tshuva. I never did tshuva. Because had he done tshuva, then what? They wouldn't have called me. Because you know this. In Mefurash Halacha, in Hilchos Tshuva, in the Rambam writes that when someone does tshuva, ultimately, again, in Maskirin Labanosov, you're not allowed to remind them. Right, about tshuva, you can't remind them of his past deeds. So the fact that they continue to call him Ben Chamtson, right, throughout his entire life, would seem to be indicative, number one, that he never did tshuva. I will say, number two, how careful we have to be with the decisions we make. Because sometimes in life, what appears as a small, relatively irrelevant decision could be the decision that ultimately solidifies and concretizes your identity and places you on a particular road in life. So overwhelming. Let's go back there. Says the Gemara. So we'll say now, back to the rest of the Mishnah. Maaser Sheni. So now, we've established Halacha L'Maisa, Halacha L'Maisa. Everyone agrees, Kachay Kadoshim, Kachim Kalim, do not belong to Kohanim. Kohanim have consumption rights, right? Who are they eating from? Ultimately, again, Me'al Shulchan Gavoa. They are consuming that which belongs to the Ribono Shalom. Because it doesn't belong to them. Therefore, Halacha L'Maisa, they can't use it for Kiddushin. Okay, so that's our purposes in Mishnah. We'll say the next part of the Mishnah then focused on Maaser Sheni, right? Maaser Sheni, ultimately, again, and Hekdish. So remember again, by Maaser Sheni, what are the Gemara's according to the Mishnah? Maaser Sheni ben Shogei ben Mezid, lo Kiddush Ramer. So we'll say Rabbi Meir holds, or Meir holds, Maaser Sheni belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, if you use Maaser Sheni to betroth the woman, whether you use it b'shogeg or b'mezid, it doesn't work. Rabbi Yehuda says, shogeg lo kidesh, mezid kidesh. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you used it b'shogeg, it doesn't work. If you used it b'mezid, it does work. So let's analyze this. Minahani mili. So we'll say, focusing more on the sheet of Rabbi Meir, that Maaser Sheni is mamon gavoa. That Maaser Sheni belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So minahani mili. From where do we know that Maaser Sheni is not the property of the Yisrael, but belongs to Hashem? From where do we know this? So I'll say something. Let me read it. V'chol maaser aretz mizera aretz mipriya is Lashem. Lashemu kodesh Lashem. Lashemu v'lo lekadesh bo isha. So we'll say, what do you see from here? When the Torah describes Maaser Sheni, Meister says it's Kodesh Lashem. So what does it mean Kodesh Lashem? It belongs to the Ribono Shel Olam. You have the right, or you have the obligation, to take it to Yerushalayim to consume it, but Lamaisa, it belongs to the Ribono Shel Olam and cannot be used for Kiddushin purposes. The verse is 1 second. Hare Trumas Meister. So I'll say, what's Trumas Meister? Trumas Meister is, remember again, the Levi gets Meister, and then the Levi is obligated to separate out a portion of his Meister for the Kohen. That portion is called Trumas Meiser. What about Trumas Meiser? Dechsev, Kein Tarimu Gam Atem Trumas Hashem. So the Torah describes Trumas Meiser as Trumas Hashem. So why don't you say the same thing over here as well? Tonight we learned Hamakdish Betruma Mikudash. As the Torah said, we learned that if a Kohen is Mekadish Omer with Truma, that it does work. To which the Gemara says, Delok Sivbe La Hashem. It says Hashem, but it doesn't say La Hashem. Meiser, right? Meiser Sheni, it says La Hashem. It belongs to Hashem. Vahari Chalo, Dichsivba Tnititnu La Hashem. Aye, what about by Chalo? By Chalo, you shall give it to Hashem. Utinan Mekalish Shuma, Bitshuma, Bitshumos Mekudashos. So Rav Osai, yet it says that if a Kohen is Mekadesh with Shumos, Rav Osai, Shumos means any portion that's coming to the Kohen. That includes Chala. So you see from here that you could betroth a woman Chala as well. To look Sivbe Kodesh. So Rav Osai, it says LaHashem, but it doesn't say Kodesh LaHashem. Vare Shvius, what about Shemitah? Dechsivba Yovel Hu, Kodesh Tia Lochem. It says Kodesh by Shemitah. Uvtinan Mekadesh Shepero Shvius Mekodesh. Yeah, Rav Osai, we learn that if you're Mekadesh with Shemitah produce, it works. The loksivbe lahashem. So once you begin to see the formula over here, in order for something to be considered to be the property of God and therefore unusable for kiddushin, it has to say what? Kodesh lahashem. So all these other examples, again, have either kodesh or have lahashem or hashem, but that's not enough to make it prohibitive for use for kiddushin. I've already truma about truma dechsev kodesh yisrael lahashem reishis tevuaso. So we'll say here by truma you have kodesh and lahashem utnana mekadesh truma kodesh. Yeah, we learn. Then if you're Mekadesh with Truma, it works. So what's going on over here? Ha'u b'Yisrael k'siv. No, Rabbi says it's incredible. That Kodesh Yisrael LaHashem, that's referring not to the Truma. What is it referring to? Klal Yisrael. Let's say how beautiful. How beautiful. It's reference to Klal Yisrael. Ultimately, Klal Yisrael is Kodesh LaHashem. So the Gemara says, V'la amadeis, v'la memeil l'shamas. So I say, I don't understand. But still, if Klal Yisrael is Kodesh LaHashem, why can't give a 53b? Why can't learn from the pasuk that the truma is also called Kodesh LaHashem? So which the Gemara says Targime Rabin Sava Kamidrav Amakra Hu Bav Yasa Yehe. Well, say it's different because by truma the Torah used lashon of hu. Hu means it remains in its state. In other words, just like again its present state, ultimately again it is usable by the coin for whatever it is that he needs. So it's going to be eligible ultimately again for Kiddushin as well. So we'll say, so bottom line, so remember, we're focusing now just particularly on the Shita Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir holds Halacha L'Maisa by Maiser Sheni. You can't use a Maiser Sheni to go ahead and affect Kiddushin. Why not? Because we'll say, ultimately, again, by Maiser Sheni, the reason is the Pasuk says, Kodesh LaHashem. Kodesh LaHashem. So we'll say, so I just want to point out, what's the unique thing over here? Even though Maiser Sheni, remember again, I, the Yisrael, I'm allowed to eat it. I just have to eat it in Yerushalayim. I could even redeem a transfer a sanctity onto money. But L'maisa, it is still considered to be the property of the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore, again, Halacha L'maisa, I can't use it for Kiddushin. I will say, we're going to see that is indeed the Halacha L'maisa. And again, the point, interesting part of here is the Gemara is contrasting Maiser Sheni with all these other things. So you can use Challah, you can use Truma. Again, Rabbi Meir's understanding is it's a unique concept by Maiser Sheni because the Torah uses the phrase Kodesh LaHashem. Incredible. Let's go right there. Ubehektish b'mezid kidesh b'shogeg lo kidesh de Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'shogeg kidesh b'mezid lo kidesh. So now we're moving on to Hegdish. So remember again, if a man betrothed woman with Hegdish, so again, the way the Mishnah read is Rabbi Meir's shita is if you did it b'mezid, then the kiddushin works. If you did it b'shogeg, the kiddushin doesn't work. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda says if you did it b'shogeg, it works. B'mezid, it doesn't work. So let's analyze what's going on over here. I'm Rabbi Yaakov. Shamas mina Rabbi Yochanan tarti. We can learn out from Yochanan's shita two things. Number one, shigagas meizid Rabbi Huda. Shigagas haitish Rabbi Meir. I will say both in the case of accidental use of Maiser Sheni to betroth the woman, right? And Shigas Hekdish, or accidental use of, so that's accidental use of Maiser Sheni according to Rabbi Yehuda, and accidental use of Hekdish according to Rabbi Meir, Shnehem Ein Isha Miskadesh Esvahen. So I will say in both cases, Kiddushin doesn't work. So again, accidental use of Maiser Sheni according to Rabbi Yehuda, and accidental use of Hekdish by Rabbi Meir, for Kiddushin will not work in both of these cases. Chada, lefishen isha rotza. In one of the cases, because the woman does not want the item. Right? The chada, lefishen shnei rotza. In the other case, is because neither of them want the item. So I will say, the problem is we don't know which is which. I'm going to be Yirmiyah. Nechsanan, let's analyze this. Nechsanan, meiser, ihi lo nechale, mishun tircha de archa. So Yirmiyah says, I'll tell you what. The woman is not going to want Maiser Sheni. People say, why doesn't she want Maiser Sheni? Because what happens if she's betrothed to Maiser Sheni? What has to happen now? She has to take it to Yerushalayim. She doesn't want that tircha, right? Well, what does she need that headache for? Hashem, it's not a headache to go to Yerushalayim. Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. But it's a tircha. In other words, now for her to utilize that ma'aser sheni, she has to take it to Yerushalayim. Ihu nechalei denikni isamela. He's more than happy to use ma'aser sheni. We'll say, why is he happy to use ma'aser sheni? Because for him, no sweat off his back, right? In other words, that's easy. That's easy. Ali ala hegdish tavai lo nechalu. I'll say, but by hekdish, neither would want it to be used for ma'aser sheni, for kiddushin. Why? The nischal hekdish al yadayu. Because we'll say, remember again, let's be clear. When you're using hekdish for kiddushin, we'll say, what are you effectively doing? What are you committing? Mi'ilah. Right? Just the difference is, the shayla is that perhaps through your act of mi'ilah, the kiddushin becomes deconsecrated, and through the deconsecration, it could be used ultimately to affect kiddushin. But bepashtus, neither of them wants to go ahead and do mi'ilah. So therefore, both say, it must be in the case of ma'aser sheni, right? So man is happy to use it. Woman is not as happy to use it because of the tircha involved with having to transport it to Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Yaakov says just the opposite. Ibcham establishes the opposite is true. Milo ika lemeimar ma'aser ihi lo nechalohu mishum tircha de orcha. It's not true. The truth is, by ma'aser sheni, neither of them really want it to be used. Why? Because Rabbi says she doesn't want it. Why? Because of the tircha involved, right? Because she's going to have to take it to Yerushalayim. He doesn't want it. Rabbi says, listen to this. When a man gives ma'aser sheni to a woman for kiddushin, Rabbi says, who has responsibility for that ma'aser sheni until it reaches Yerushalayim? The man. Which means if she loses that ma'aser sheni, it's on him. He doesn't want to do that. In other words, for kiddushin, he wants to use something that the moment he gives it to the woman, right, he's done. Now, it turns out, if he gives her ma'aser sheni, she takes Yerushalayim, on the way, she loses it, or it spoils. He has to replace that ma'aser sheni. So in other words, she doesn't want it because she doesn't want to be bound to taking up her kiddushin, so to speak, to Yerushalayim. He doesn't want it because he doesn't want to be bound ultimately by responsibility. Ela hegdish, when it comes to hegdish, however, bishlama ihi lo nechalei dinischal hegdish al yada. So I'll say, so a woman in general is not going to want to become mikudeshes with hegdish. Why? Because they both say she doesn't want the deconsecration of hegdish, i.e. mi'ila, through her. Ihi milo nechalei dinikni isesam mi'ila. But I will say he's fine with that. In other words, so I'll say, so lemaisa, he's affecting kiddushin. Okay, so we'll say he's going to have to pay a surcharge, right? In other words, he's going to have to pay the mi'ila penalty. But Baruch Hashem, he's married. So that's something he's willing to do, not something she's willing to do. Okay, so we'll say, bless you. So these are the two sides. Let's just do another line, then we'll stop for today. Boy, mine, Rav, Merav Chista. So Rav asked Rav Chista, Isha, in miskadesha. So we'll say, let's assume right now, that if you were to use hekdish money, right, that a woman ultimately again would not. Rashi says over isha leskavish hashta mia nechal. I'm sorry. Ha kamina de ina mikudeshes b'shigas kol shemir. So it's contrary mayor. Where ultimately again, if a man were to give a woman money of hekdish, so contrary mayor, if it was done b'shogeg, she would not be mikudeshes. So by isha in miskadeshes maos maos sheitzid lechulin. So we'll say, here's the shayla. Ultimately, again, even though she's not mikudeshes, does the money become chulin? Does the money become deconsecrated? Amar le isha in miskadeshes maos heich yatzel chulin. Of course not. Alocha lemaisa, if what? If the money, right, if the kiddushin is not effective, then we'll say what? Then the money remains hektish and is not deconsecrated. So we'll say, so you know, we'll stop over here for today. We'll stop with this last case. So we'll say, this last case is a little bit confusing because what we have over here is really like two streams happening over here. We have ultimately, again, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, right? Ultimately, again, we have now in Hekdish, right? Rabbi Meir telling me that if you use the Hekdish, b'mezid, it works. B'shogeg, it doesn't work. So we'll say, just the logic behind that. B'mezid, if you use Hekdish, b'mezid, we'll say, what are you doing? Mi'ilah. But what Me'ilah generates is a penalty, but at the same time, what else does it do? It deconsecrates the item. Now, once the item has been deconsecrated, then what? It's yours. Once it's yours, you can go ahead and use it to affect Kiddushin. So, Rabbi Meir, it's interesting. If you use Hekdish B'mezid, ultimately it works. B'shogeg, it doesn't work. Right?
Right, b'mezid kiddush b'shogeg, that's right, Rabbi Yehuda says, b'shogeg it works, b'mezid it doesn't work. Now, how that works, in Yehuda, we're going to see, we'll stop over here for today. So just a reminder, the schedule for tonight is special Lel Hashanah. I figure we're going to do the daf tonight. This way, again, I know people are davening at different minyanim over Hoshana Rabbah, and davening either way ends later tomorrow morning. So, Amir Hashem, 7:30 tonight in the Sukkah, we're going to do Friday's daf. We're going to give ourselves some time also to do it. We don't have, it's nice about doing enough davening in general. We don't have to rush. We'll do a beautiful daf in the Sukkah. There might even be some refreshments. There's some rumors about some refreshments flying around. Amir Hashem, it'll be beautiful. And then, everyone, even if you don't normally come to Chassidus here, Lel Hashanah Rabbah, right after Daf Yom, we're going to do Chassidus at 8:30. There's going to be a beautiful Piyajetzna, a little bit of singing, a lot of singing. Amen. It's going to be beautiful. And we'll bring in Lel Hashanah Rabbah. Together, we'll say, Shukoyach.